There you go. No, no. Leave us hanging. Computer stuff, man. But no, you have those moments where you just, you're a completely of sane mind. You know, no alcohol, no nothing. And all of a sudden, finding this item in your house becomes the most important thing, and you will just move every mountain to find it. I had that experience looking for these headphones.
Definitely behind the dishwasher.
Pull the fridge out.
Then I'm texting everybody I know who I may have lent them to from that era, from that time period. It's gotten bad. I was like, hey, did I loan you a pair of Sony headphones? No, okay. Dude.
Cole has the right idea. She's got a notebook on her bookshelf that when she loans something to somebody, she's got like a ledger.
Wow. That's have them like sign it out, sign out date. Like you signed here that you would return it by September. Like now October, what's the deal? Yeah.
She doesn't really use them all, but she's got like a whole set of library cards that are in a bunch of books too.
The fact that they're in books takes it up a level. Like it takes it up from the level of like, you know, like a librarian to like the person who guards Doctor Strange's books, you know, like you pull out a book, dust it off. Oh, in 1986, I lent that cheese grater. That's brilliant.
Whereas like there's got to be dozens of games that I've loaned out. I have no idea what or where they are.
Dude, in college, I donated my Xbox, all my Guitar Hero controllers, all of my games to like a. It was like just like donate your stuff in a donation box and it'll go to like people in need or whatever. And I was like, oh, this is tough. I don't play this much at all. And then as soon as I graduate, I'm like, bro, I want to play Skate 2 and Guitar Hero and all of these things. I'm like, well, I just gave away all of that stuff. I'm just like so mad that I did that. But at the same point, like, well, did go to charities, but at the same point, like, really want to play Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Keep away all my stuff.
Yeah. And at childhood, there was like always those friends who were super stingy. And that is the ones who would like let you borrow anything. And I was the one that would let people always take stuff, or I'd leave it at my friend's house and I'll get it next time or whatever. And then so my parents would be like, where'd that thing go? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I think Sean has it. Like, it was bad.
Actually, just a couple weeks ago, I found out who had my copy of Wind Waker for the GameCube. I was like, I don't even remember owning it.
Like, got a friend. They're like, yo, dude, you want your Wind Waker back? And like, my
I had to be like 4 weeks ago. He was like, I haven't played it yet. And I'm like, dude, I forgot I even ever owned it.
I bet it's been weighing that guy down forever. He's like, I haven't reached out. Every
time he sees my God, I feel so bad.
That's why he looks so terrified every time I see him.
Is that why you've been ducking me? Over Wind Waker?
It'd be like that, though.
Yeah. It is like one of the best Zeldas, for sure.
Kyle, you've been watching Overwatch League? You staying on top of it?
Not as much as I have in the past, but I did watch Countdown Cup. I didn't watch today because I think most of the games were kind of doo-doo. But I watched all but the Grand Finals. I had to go do stuff, but I watched like a couple maps of the Grand Finals. But yeah, I've been watching most of it.
Yeah, yeah. What'd you think of that match?
It was pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. That it?
Yeah. I don't remember too much of the, like, I think it was like some of the maps were like super one-sided, I thought. Like there was like a full hold or two in there. And then there was like a full hold on the other side.
It was
yeah. It was
watching it.
So like
those two matches from my perspective, I think Shock fans in general, We have the bowls right now. We have the, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have the 70 game.
We practically have the early 90s dream team.
So our fans are so spoiled at this point to where if it's not a huge blowout, first of all, critics say, oh, Shock's probably washed. And then all of our fans just like keep, like, they just stress out.
What was the other tournament? The one before Countdown Cup, not May Melee.
Oh, the other one that the Shock
won? Summer Showdown. Where, like, well, no, that was where you got taken out in the semis by Paris.
Oh, we try not to remember that one.
That was the only one that we lost. Yeah.
Like, that was the, like, oh my God, is it over? Is it over? Is the shock done with their, like...
over. Yeah, people were flipping out on us. Like, time to rebuild. So, and then it didn't help that, like, immediately after that, we had that...
Super Genji?
No, we had been planning to do open tryouts. You know, and of course, we're like, okay, after we win, you know, we're going to pop this tryout announcement and everyone's going to be hyped. They're going to want to join the winning team, you know?
Yeah.
And then we lose. And we kept the same strat. And then everyone's like, oh shit, Krusty's mad. He's firing everybody, holding open tryouts. Like, Reddit was fun those few weeks.
I saw a post of like the longest dynasties in Overwatch history. And I think. The Shock is on the longest, like, outbeat the original Envious, beat out Lunatic High, beat out
Runaway.
I think most of those lasted within a year, and like we're on like a year and 3 or 4 months or something since like they've been like arguably top of the league, which is nuts for the game so far.
Is that roster
it's bleeding.
Slash or organization? Because
I think
our roster's kind of hard to track in that way.
I think it's... Well, I mean, you had Violet, you had Super, you had Choi, all since, like, early last season, right?
Like, we built them up slowly. We started with Architect, and...
Architect was end of season one, right?
He was our first big pickup, I thought.
Who's that?
Architect.
Oh, dude.
I thought it went that, like...
And Moth. We got Architect and Moth at the same time.
God.
Right.
I love Moth.
And then we traded Dante for Smurf.
Good move.
That was the most, like, thinking that Houston was like, oh, yeah, we're coming out huge on this trade. And now little do they know, they're like... Oh fuck! That guy was gold.
Yeah, I think he's worth. Smurf is definitely worth more than whatever they made in that trade.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, I would have been surprised if Houston got Dante plus, like, also paid extra.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Like in the 1-for-1 trade, I would have guessed that
because they didn't even say it came from Outlaws. We technically got him from Optic Gaming or their T2 team,
Optic Academy, GGEA or whatever.
Yeah. That's crazy just to think Optic was in so much stuff not too long ago.
Like, 9/10 of this roster was here as of late 2018. And so, like, the domination began, like, early 2019.
Yeah.
Then, like, since then, just dubs.
Yeah. Once the boys became adults. Some good trades.
Are you keeping up on Sinatra moving over to Sentinels and Valorant and all that sorts of stuff, Corey? Or
I still like follow him and stuff, but I don't go out of my way to track it down. He's doing really well though.
He's literally top of one game to top of the other game. They lost the latest one, but it was like you have like the best rivalry in the game in Valorant right now. It's so good.
Which one, Sentinels and FaZe?
Sentinels and TSM. FaZe is TSM. Working on it, but like. Oh, it's FaZe. So good. Like, overtimes every time they match up, like, back and forth and back and forth. It's,
that's
like, some of the best.
Needs. That's what the scene needs super
absolutely.
Early. And that's crazy. Sinatra's going to be at the top of it. He's only started his journey. He's going to be nuts.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be one of those top guys just across all FPS and as far as popularity goes.
Yeah. He's got to be less of a douchebag when he streams.
Is he getting worse or is he like
no.
It's just kind of nonchalant, like kind of I don't know.
He's toxic when he streams. I don't know how he is like in team comp.
I from what I've heard, he's like hyper professional, like grown up a lot in the team and leadership figure and all that.
That's I think his strongest skill, to be honest. That's what I was worried about the team losing more than anything mechanical was his hunger, like that drive to make everybody better and get clutch.
Right.
But I don't know who's doing that now. I don't know whether it's Super, but Super doesn't, he's not on the field.
He doesn't always play.
Yeah. So I'm really curious.
He's just yelling really loud.
Dude, I was, so on the Tayo signing, I was calling for that dude to get signed for a minute. He was crushing it in the tier 2 scene. I was like, I had this list of 4 players, Oni God, Kevster, Tayo and then Decod, and 3 of those 4 got picked up like a month after I had like said pick up these 4 players.
You predicted it.
I predicted. Well, he was like kind of just dumpstering everyone in tier two. So.
Yeah. I can't wait. That was really promising because he hasn't gotten much playtime. But then Krusty did that interview after the fact and made it very clear that we didn't sign him just to be a Genji in this meta. We signed him for long-term vision that he has. So that was exciting.
Totally.
What do you think is going to happen this weekend with no Tracer, no Genji, no Zarya? And break.
Is it no, I haven't looked at the hero pool too much. I've just played the new patch recently, and it's interesting. It's pretty fun. That's super divey, but like having dive heroes basically buffed or like bunker nerfed, and then also dive banned in hero pools. It's like it's super weird. I need to watch tomorrow.
Yeah,
I could watch today.
Well, it's hard to get into dive with the bans being Tracer, Genji.
Right, like
so we're probably, that's gonna get pushed off a week or something.
Yeah.
What's up, Curtis?
What's up?
You ready to roll?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could I be more pale? I think I need some like proper lights.
That's why I have all my documents on dark mode, because otherwise it just washes me out of here. Absolutely bang, clear. Video game bang, video game bang. Video
game bang. Mega Brand. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ram, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, everybody? Video Game Bang is back. And boy, did we have us a week. And I wouldn't rather be spending this time with anybody but three of my best friends in Sacramento, California. Starting with the guy right above me. If we're playing the Brady Bunch game, because we're all working remote. Curtis, how you doing up there, buddy?
Hey, Corey. How's it going doing now?
This is becoming habit, this online weekly conferences that we have. But I miss you, Curtis. I miss seeing your face. We got to actually hang out for like a couple minutes, and it was very, very nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I was, like, once it clicked in my mind that we were going to do the podcast tonight, I was like, oh man, I remember the times I used to just drive over to Corey's house randomly here every night on Wednesday night. It's not the same anymore. It's not the same, but I'm glad we still get to do it. So happy to be here.
All right. And joining us also to my that way, I'm pointing at him right now. I'm pointing at that beautiful mustache. He's becoming quite the regular here. Taylor Balby, what's going on, man?
Dude. Nothing. Enjoying life. Playing way too much Satisfactory.
Satisfactory. Okay, we'll get into that one. We'll get into that one. Man, you jump right into the video game, man. We got to work our way into the video game. This is transition period. I don't want to hear about
it. It's on my mind.
And then joining us for the first time since the plague, the first time live via satellite, Kyle the Winner. What is going on, man?
What's up? How's it going? It's weird. Because I normally do podcasts via Discord anyways, and so like that part is normal. But also, I was so used to like driving over and doing the same thing, like driving over and being in person. I'm like, ooh, this is a cool in person podcast. But now it's like that little bit of fun just was taken away.
I hate it, man.
Taken away.
That was the thing. Everyone would always say, man, why do you guys record the show in person? Isn't it easier to do it via Skype? And of course it's easier to do it via Skype, but there's that live energy in the room. You know, things are just different when you're in the same room. And I mean, I think we've made the adjustment pretty well. I feel like, you know, we're in the digital conference meta right now, and we're thriving. We're adjusting, but I cannot.
I'm really waiting for that patch though.
Yeah, please. Let's patch out coronavirus. Let's do that and get back to seeing people. I actually got to hang out, just in case people were wondering. He's been really, really busy with real life, but David Webb, he was over at my house. We stayed 6 feet apart. We wore our masks and all that. We shared a glass of whiskey and just kind of caught up on some stuff. And he's doing well. He wanted to tell the fans and the listeners that he's out there and he'll be back. But, you know, he just got some life stuff going on. So shout out to David Webb. We have a lot to talk about on the show this week, and I'm so glad we got this panel, this crack crew, because honestly, it's way above my head. Sometimes I'm in my zone. Other times, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. And this time, I don't know what the fuck's happening. So the big story is what's going on with Fortnite and Apple Store and Google now. What's up, Taylor? What's happening?
Yeah, so a bunch of people noticed that Fortnite had been removed from the store, and then Fortnite put up a whole campaign, anti-Apple campaign, basically challenging Apple on their monopolistic practice of having the only app store on their devices, enforcing, you know, developers to give up 30% of the revenue that any of their applications make. The reason it was removed was because Epic violated their terms by having their own payment. What's the word? Basically, their own payment system. Yeah, for accepting payments and buying the, what do they call, V-Bucks? I think it's called.
Oh wow! And that existed completely outside of Apple's outside control. Of the App Store.
Whoa. Yeah, well, what you could do is you could pick, like, whether you want to pay with Apple's Pay Store or pay with the Epic Pay Store or whatever. And the Epic Pay Store was significantly lower. So, like, why would you want to pay more money via the Apple route? So everyone went the Epic route, and then Apple was getting screwed over on all their residuals or whatever.
So they kicked them out of the store, and then they launched that campaign, and the campaign was a rip off of that original iconic Apple commercial. I don't know the context of that commercial.
It was, they were launching the original Macintosh in 1984, so
Curtis, do you remember that? Like, you know probably more about Apple than anybody here. Do they make you watch that video in your training sessions and explain the significance?
I don't even remember what video it is. I probably have to see it to know.
I feel like I've seen it mocked more than I've actually seen it. It's that thing where there's like, it's all black and white, and then there's a big television that's brainwashing people, I think, and some, is it a runner or something? Like a professional runner?
Like an Olympic athlete runs in.
Yeah, some athlete runs in there and shatters.
Oh, the old 1984.
That's the one.
The old commercial from 1984, yeah.
Fortnite just reintroduced it to the Zoomers out there. So for all of the Fortnite players, this is the first time they've seen it, I'm sure. They stole history. And then they did the same thing to Android, too. And because at first, Apple's like on people's shit list because of the Xbox xCloud stuff that came out. So there was a conference for Samsung. They announced this big partnership deal with xCloud. And then they also announced in the same day that it was not going to be available for iOS due to issues with the store. But I didn't know what those issues were. Do you guys get that?
Yeah, it's the same problem.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Basically, xCloud, the way that you pay and get access to it is separate of the Apple Store. And Apple was, you know, not going to let that fly.
Wow, so we got two cases. What's going to happen, do you guys think, with all this?
I think Epic is going to have to fold at some point. Apple's been sued over this monopolistic store for, 13 years now, and keeps winning.
it's not like, I mean, like, on a moral basis, like, yeah, Apple's in the wrong, but on like a legal basis, from what I understand from Twitter lawyers and stuff like that, is like, they technically, like, Epic broke the rules of the agreement, the developer agreement, and they went around Apple, and so Apple has every right. I mean, they don't have to allow anyone onto their store. Like, they can decide who they want and don't want, and they can dictate what they, you know, how it runs, because that's their store, and like, they have no legal incentive to change their practice. They only have the whole like better market reason to like want to be better about it, basically. They only have the fear of competition and someone else taking their spot because they're sick and tired of the Apple BS.
Curtis, what do you think is going to happen? Anything, or is it just going to business as usual?
Comment.
Oh, he can't comment. He actually can't. He's bound. He's signed. Yeah, okay. All right, all right. I
NDAs, baby, NDAs. Come on now. You know how the game is played.
I do.
I can neither confirm nor deny. There you go. All right. That's the official Apple answer. Okay.
That's brilliant. That's interesting. That never stopped us when I was working for GameStop, that's for sure. But there was a lot less at risk. What are you gonna do? Fire me? McDonald's right there. They'll take me a heartbeat. Cool. So what else we got? While we're talking about the xCloud thing, that was interesting, jarring, kind of sucks for me because I've recently made the switch to all Apple products, so it's kind of a big bummer to see that that's going to happen, and hopefully they could figure something out. Like, it was in beta and that seemed cool, but the big announcement that I saw was the postponement of Halo Infinite. It's not coming out now till like, I don't know, Q2. It seemed like pretty far out in 2021. Did they actually put a date on there?
I don't recall seeing one. I think they were like, look, we're going to give it its time that it needs to bake, which is the right move.
You think so? Explain that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look at Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk's done this as well. You know, people were upset and all that stuff, but I think people are more upset that it's not a launch title of the Series X, because that's like the most Xbox thing is Halo.
What they've done every single year is like new Xbox, new Halo, new Xbox, new Halo. And like, it kind of goes with it. And like, I mean, that was part of the reason that the original Xbox made so much is because the original Halo was so good. And like, everyone's just like, I want the Halo game. I will buy the Xbox for it. But I think that like, it kind of depends on whether this is good or bad, depending on like what point of view you're coming from. If you're a game player, if you're a gamer and you want that, like, you'll get a better game, but you have to wait more. Like, that's one thing to consider. But I think from what I've heard in the game dev community is a bunch of people are also like, now everyone who's working on the game is going to basically just be in crunch mode. Like, they thought, okay, we're crunching until this comes out in whenever it's going to come out, September or whatever, and then we're done. And like, then we can kind of breathe and kind of reevaluate and relax a little bit. But now they're like still back in crunch mode for almost a year more than they thought they were going to. So that kind of blows. I think the same thing had happened for Cyberpunk as well. Like, the devs are feeling a lot more, but
really
needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, I suppose.
Well, see, that kind of changes the perception, because usually when you're, you know, following a game and you hear it's postponed, you go, oh good, you know, there'll be less crunch because you take this amount that they were going to do in a short period and put it over a longer period. But are they just not postponing them long enough?
Well, I think there's arguments in both ways. Like, there's times when we have seen games, I think a lot of the like 5 or 6 years ago, the Assassin's Creed games were like, oh my god, all of these games are way too early released, they're just rushed out for a deadline and they're absolute trash. Then there's like, I think it depends on the way the studio does it, and like, I'm not in any of these studios, so it's a little harder to know, but like, from what I heard, like, the Cyberpunk team was kind of crunching up until like April, when they thought they were going to release the game, or June, and then they pushed it back, and so now they're kind of, at least from what I understand, they're still kind of crunching, and so I would be surprised if the Halo team was not doing the same thing.
You know, I think that's kind of a mentality that workers get. I don't know the situation, so I can't comment, but I will speak to just from my experience in watching Cake Boss. Like, if you ever watch Cake Boss, and you give him a deadline, no matter what the deadline, when it's the day before, he's freaking out, I gotta make a cake! You know? It's always getting in the car at the last second. Like, it's never. Then, you have 2 more weeks. Oh, God, I gotta make a cake!
You're never chilling for a week. Like, oh, we we came over schedule. Like, awesome. We have like extra free time. Like,
yeah, I always feel like I'm grinding. Like, you change the deadline, I'm still like, oh my God, I'm always, you know, that's just kind of, I think, a mentality.
Well, the type of work it is like, no work is ever like done to the level. It's like, there's always a compromise. Like with Cyberpunk, you always want to have like 1,000 quests as opposed to 900 quests. And like, okay, well, we can't release 1,000. We have to cut 100 of them that were planned, but we just can't get them done in time. So there's always like more to make. And so it kind of gets tricky. Like, no game is ever done. It's just release is kind of the mantra. And so I think that like Halo might be in the same, in the same vein of, it's hopefully past the point of like, they're avoiding a game being released and it's just trash because it's too early. But instead, like, you do have people who are crunching longer than they expected. But maybe that they're a better studio and is a little smarter about it.
Yeah. How much you... Go ahead, Taylor.
Yeah, so, I mean, they made it seem like some of the game, like certain parts of the game were done. But they were postponing the entire game to avoid breaking up, say, you know, strip the multiplayer to just release the multiplayer and then the campaign will come later. Like, they wanted all of it at once. And so everything gets delayed.
How much of it do you think was the feedback on the game? Because it seemed like the game came out and there was a lot of criticism about just the overall kind of look of it, seeming like they cut corners graphically.
I was not impressed at all. Like, there wasn't one thing in the trailers that I was like, oh, this looks like the next generation game.
So you're part of the problem. Do you expect them to come back with like, fully revamped everything? Like, that gorilla guy meme, that brute meme that's going around? Like, they're going to look at that and be like, all right, we got to fix this shit.
I don't imagine that'll get changed too much, considering their voice acting has animations. Yeah.
But, like, I think it might... It very well could be like the Sonic treatment, and that like the initial trailer came out and I was like, what the hell is that? And so they had to remodel, animate every Sonic shot for like, and that's why they pushed it back like 8 or 9 months. So it very well could be that. It very well could be like rebuilding the entire engine and just saving the content and rebuild. Like, it could be something that drastic because people were so unimpressed by the graphic fidelity of it. But It's kind of hard to know what it is, what the true reason was, and I don't think we'll ever actually know unless we know someone who works at 343.
Hopefully we get a postmortem at GDC sometime.
That would be sick.
All right, guys, this is what happened. You know, Kyle accidentally walked too close to a magnet with his to the hard drive. And...
wiped the whole first, like, half of the game.
We had to build it from scratch. you know, that was a big meeting. Like, I was looking at the release, and I love breaking down those releases just as a kind of social media PR person. And the weight of we made the difficult decision, that told me everything I needed to know.
Yeah.
Because, like you had said, Kyle, this is Halo. This is the game for the new Xbox. So whether it's ready or not, you know, there's a guy in a suit, you know, at the very top corner building, who's like, I don't give a shit if that gorilla's face looks like that. Like, we're launching a motherfucking Xbox.
Like, it's,
and we need literally Halo.
The marriage of the Xbox and Halo is like the strongest we have ever seen in like a console and a game. And like, I can't imagine how much pressure like the Xbox people are putting on the Halo people. Like, dude, I don't care.
Yeah.
This could crush the whole console. Like, there's so much more at stake than just the one game.
Yeah. I mean, I saw many tweets, and I usually don't put too much stock when someone says, well, okay, well, then I'm never buying your product again. But I saw tons of people who are like, well, I'm still going to get an Xbox, but I'm going to put it off till next year now.
Yeah.
And you don't want that at your launch. You want to give them the reason to buy it at the gate, you know, because... So, you know, that person's air conditioner might break and they can't afford it, you know, in February. Like, you never know what life situations are going to be. So you want them to buy it now. And the alarming number of people I saw express that consent was pretty disappointing. I'm still excited for Games Pass. Maybe that's what's keeping them okay, is that they know that the Games Pass financial model is what they're going for. And so maybe with xCloud and the rest of these things coming out, it's not going to be as a big financial boom. Like, I don't, maybe they're not depending on this console as much as we think. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I see them as different businesses because the Game Pass also affects PC, right? Like, they've been on a huge kick of like cross, you know, releases. So I see those two things as like two very different businesses. I think most consoles launch with only a couple interesting games. I mean, especially traditionally Xboxes. I bought every single launch title for the Xbox One with the Xbox One day one. Ooh. And I probably played through three or four of them.
Man, that was probably one of the worst.
I
got Rise Son of Rome. Oh, God. I can't even remember this. Though.
It was pretty.
Yeah, it looked great. That's why I got it, just because of how good it looked.
Pretty disaster.
It was a disaster. What other games came out that were big? Oh, Dead Rising, I think, might have been the other one I picked up.
And yeah.
That one.
Yeah, was, I haven't heard any. 13 gigabyte patch, which sounded astronomical.
At the time.
Yeah.
Little did you know?
Call of Duty was waiting for its moment.
I don't know. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal that they're postponing Halo. I don't even know if recoverable or not, but we'll see. On brighter news, though, Tony Hawk, they announced on Instagram they have renamed a move in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 to better honor the new trick's creator, originally named the Mute Grab, which I do remember that name when I read it. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, the Mute Grab.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. The move is being renamed Weddle Grab, to be more respectful for its creator, Chris Weddle, a deaf, not mute, skateboarder. Do you guys know the backstory to this?
I mean, it's just a great thing to do. I mean, it was Chris Weddle didn't name the trick that he started. All the other skaters did, and they just never really thought about the implications of it.
I think there's something difficult with like the culture of skateboarding in that it was so grassroots and like it kind of just came from like these legendary tricks, which are now being used in games and movies and all that sorts of stuff. Like they just came from some dudes in a skate park, and like there's all sorts of other like not super politically correct names for skate tricks that like they just got grandfathered in. And so like it's good to see someone of a position of power like Tony Hawk, who's literally like the face of skateboarding, being able to like right some of the wrongs and like honor people a little bit better than they had been in the past. And like, it's cool to see that like he's kind of paying homage back to this person a little bit better than they had in the past.
Was that named the Mute Grab because he was deaf, or what?
Because he didn't talk much because he was deaf. And so he was kind of a mute kind of guy is what he was described as. And so that was kind of the way it went. So.
That's good.
It wasn't like he came up with it as much, like that he was just named for him.
That's dope. That's cool that they're making those kinds of changes. We gotta all grow up to some degree while we're playing these games from that time period where we were completely different people, you know? Like, imagine that back then. But the other cool thing about Tony Hawk, which I can't wait to end this damn podcast because today was the day that the beta starts for pre-orders. So if you pre-order the game, you get the warehouse beta you could download now, which I believe was on the demo. It was the same map for the demo disc that I had the first time I played Tony Hawk.
Dang.
Interesting.
So
that's pretty cool.
I'm just stoked off the demo. Like, I think that was a brilliant move. I know where I know where a few of the tapes are. So it's just going to be dope going back and replaying the shit out of this thing. Maybe we stream it. But that's the thing. Like, when you play these old school games, you got to have the right peripherals, man. I can't play Tony Hawk 1 on a 360 controller or on an Xbox One controller. Like, it just doesn't feel right. And then you had said you try a PlayStation 4 one, but that doesn't even feel like it's right. That thing's like an alien spaceship compared to the original PS1 controller. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. If you're looking for that nostalgic feel, which is probably what I'm looking for with Tony Hawk, you know, 1 and 2. Yeah, you kind of need the right controller. So there are adapters to plug in a PlayStation controller. But before we started recording, and Kyle mentioned if you pick up a, you know, a PlayStation controller now, it might be a piece of shit.
The next thing we got is Factorio has finally left beta. So I don't know what Factorio is. I'm going to have to Google this. It says here in the notes, Taylor can calm down now.
Finally. I've been playing Factorio off and on for several years. I mean, it first launched in February of 2016, which was, seemed like a lifetime ago.
Okay, I'm looking at the screenshots, and you're going to have to really explain this to me.
Yeah, so it's an interesting, honestly, it's what I would consider a spreadsheet game. You're basically gathering resources and building factories to automate the building of more resources to like build more buildings and stuff like that. So you're essentially building these automated factories.
It's like an organization-y kind of management-y game. So like it's, I think it's one of those like binary, like you either are so into these and like when Satisfactory came out, you're like, oh my God, this is exactly my kind of game. And like same with Factorio before that, or you're just like, it's just, I don't understand the appeal of it. Like I don't get it at all. Like it's, absolutely. I love it though.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that is in between loving or disliking. Like,
so what is but like, this different? So it's left beta. Was it paid?
It's just finally, yeah. So early when it launched in back in 2016, it was $20. For 2 years, it was $20. Then in 2018, they made it $30. And unlike most games, when they come out of early access, the price is still the same. So it's still $30, which is pretty cheap for, if you're into these kind of games, how many hours you're going to get out of this game. I have taken off days of work, not at my current job, but at my previous job.
Sure.
Just to play for a couple days.
Like, and it's great to see, like, I remember when, I think it was Rust was like in early access for like 6 years or something. Like, what the heck is this? Like, they switched entirely genres of the game from like a zombie game to like a survival. Like, it's always weird to see like these indie games that are just in dev for so long, and like then when it's like, okay, we're launching, like what are you launching with? Like, no, we're just done. Like, oh.
Yeah,
it's just a all right, yeah, we're just done with what we thought we were gonna do. Like, okay, like it's always this weird, like games now are so like there's no like shipping on a disc and you can't touch it after that. Like, you can always update and always patch. There's like, there's such little difference between like Overwatch, which is launched but now they're still adding stuff every day, all new maps, new characters, balance changes, man, versus like
every day Overwatch you get a character
every after complaints for a month and a half,
there you go.
Every year they're releasing,
but like they're changing new stuff often. And these indie games are doing the exact same thing. It's just they're launching at different intervals, and they're doing the iterative process for so much longer. It's such an interesting process to where like games have come in the modern era of like there's nothing's truly ever done hands off.
That Factorio, I'm looking at it, and it makes sense what you're saying. But is it one of those games where you've been playing the same like instance since you've been in the game, or
you can, yeah,
or does it blow up and you got to start it all over again type of thing?
It doesn't really blow up unless you're like really terrible and somehow the aliens overwhelm your base. But I mean, you can run the same map for months or even a year.
It's yeah, it's very akin to like Minecraft, and like you can beat the game and you can, I think you build the spaceship and then you fly away, but like do you actually, like it's kind of often it's just so far away, and you can just like instead of building the spaceship you can just like, you know what, I want to make this even more optimized and use even less tracks, conveyor belts, and just have it be like perfectly symmetrical and it perfectly laid out. You can like always be, you know, improve it, and like you can play the same save for hundreds and hundreds of hours, or you can complete it after 30 or whatever.
How smart do you need to be play this game? Because now I'm intimidated. Hearing you two talk about it makes me a little scared.
Anybody could play it because the concept is pretty at the base of it is pretty simple.
Anybody can play it, sure. Yeah, but that's like that's like in Minecraft. Like my friend David Ng, who's been on the show tons of times, college MIT smart man, smarty pants. Me and him are not playing the same game when we play Minecraft. I'm playing ride horses and beat things up, and he's playing like he's playing chicken egg farm simulator thing with all these machines and redstone everywhere. And if I touch a block in his area, he gets pissed because.
But do you have fun playing Minecraft like that? Because you could very simply play games like Factorio and also Satisfactory, which is another one in the same vein. But if what you enjoy about the game is optimizing and building these efficient machines and min-maxing your power grid and, you know, making sure your trains are running on perfect schedule and all that stuff, like there's that layer to the game as well. So it's pretty fun. Also, if you're just like a run and gun kind of person, my best friend and I play, we have played Factorio together, and I just build vehicles for him, and he drives those buggies around and just shoots down aliens and stuff while I'm optimizing factories and making sure we have resources.
All right. Well, that's crazy. So check out Factorio. Sounds like a fun game. I think I'm going to look at that one. More less smart and more fun. We have the game that's taken over the United States of America, Fall Guys. Holy shit, this game has been just on fire, and it's not going down. They just announced that the game sold, what, $2 million already?
$2 million in copies, so that's what, like,
game's 20,000
or something? Yeah, I guess it's 100,000 copies then?
Something like that.
2 million? Something math. I don't know math.
Have you guys had a chance to play this one yet? I know, Taylor, you said you had. You played that one round.
I love it. I just love it. I'm not good at it, but I love it.
Have you gotten your first crown yet?
Of course not. I've been in the final, you know, final fight for it multiple times, most of the time, actually, but never.
What do you think's the future of this game, Kyle?
I've not played. I've watched a ton, but I'm one of the people who knows, like, okay, I know who I will become if I play this game, and I don't want anyone to see me like that. I will use words I haven't used since high school. I don't want to subject myself to that amount of self-torture and anger, but I love watching people play it. I think it's a fascinating take on, like, kind of the wacky physics-based games of, like, Gang Beasts or Human Fall Flat, but also combined with the battle royale element of, like, it starts with a bunch of people and there's only one in the end. Like, it's such a... I would have never made that connection of, like, games that should get married and have a child together, but, like, that's what it is, and it's so fascinating. It's I think it's an amazing game that I can totally imagine will be completely off the face of the earth and everyone will completely forget about in 4 months, but like the devs will have enough money to just live off of that and make whatever the heck game they want to do after that, no problem.
I think this game, you're right, it could be the flavor of the month, but I wouldn't put it past them if they take that Fortnite model and can somehow bring life to these creatures and the world around them. Like, if the maps are changing and, you know, they make it interesting, they're it's crazy the game costs money. First of all, it seems like a game that would be free, but
and that you'd pay for hats and skins and stuff.
Yeah, because I think they do have like a battle pass system in the game where you pay for like a season.
You don't pay for it, it's purely through player progression.
Which is
really
so backwards. Yeah, it's so backwards.
I was a little upset because, you know, I haven't got the time for a battle pass. And I was like, damn it, I can't buy my way all the way to the end.
They've been posting a lot of tweets about while we're trying to fix the servers, because I think this thing is way bigger than they had.
Oh, yeah, dude. I can't imagine what it's like. Okay, we're going to have like 20,000 people, you know, buy at most by the game, like maybe like 3,000 or 4,000 at like peak playing at a time. Let's just buy that server and just like, yeah, you should have like 500,000 people playing your game right now. Like, oh,
I remember.
And the fact that it was free on PlayStation Plus, like that certainly did not help the server issue.
How upset would you be, Taylor, if next month, or maybe, okay, let's say in Kyle's scenario, 4 months from now, the servers are a ghost town, and then they say, all right, it's free to play, and it brings everybody back. Would you be mad that you spent that money on it?
Yeah, not at all. I don't have any regrets buying games ever. So,
but if you would have just waited 4 months, you would have had 20 extra bucks in your pocket, Taylor. What could you have done?
Yeah, but you
could
do that with almost any market, right? Like, if you wait, there's always going to be a sale.
But 3 months, 20 bucks? That's an L, sir. That's an L.
I mean, if you get my math is if you get 20 hours out of it, dude, like 20 hours for 20 bucks is like pretty good. And like, that's one of those games you can just keep playing, keep playing, keep playing. It's not like a single player adventure game where you get like 30 hours, you spend 60 bucks, and you can't really replay it after that unless you're like super hardcore. But
if you get 3 hours out of it, you're already doing better than the theaters. So, true. Like, it doesn't, 20 bucks, like, if you enjoy that game for even a night, it's worth it. It's totally worth it.
All right.
Do think that for them to keep the game going forever, they need to do custom maps. They got to find a way to do custom maps.
Go the Mario Maker route?
Yeah. Let the community carry the game.
That would be
to the end of the world.
Yeah. Because that's like, I think that's where a lot of these games, like, failing to scale is such a huge thing. Like, Fortnite could do it because who's behind it? Epic Games. They're like a big company.
Fortnite, and they can handle that for a while, right? After a while, didn't they do like a creative space, and then they actually incorporated that into the Battle Royale, so you drop into a server and you don't know what it would be. It'd just be some kid thought up.
Yeah.
I don't know how that all worked. I did know that people were building their own worlds in it. I'm not really a Fortnite guy.
Yeah. Okay. But like, that's, I don't know, like, that games are, that's kind of where games live and die, like whether it becomes a flavor of the month, or I feel like I can't recall what the last flavor of the month game was, because that's exactly what it was. But like, there have been so many like small studio indie teams who come up with this huge game, and then just like minus Minecraft and Fortnite, like basically everyone has kind of failed to capitalize on early success and turn that into longevity.
You reminded me of my favorite one to bring up was Realm Royale.
Oh, God, I played so much of that game. It made me so sad.
It was so good. It was a beautiful game. And it was done by Hi-Rez, who does Smite, so it was like a double win. And then they just blew it.
They drove it. They made stupid changes, and then they just stopped caring. It's like less than 1,000 people playing anymore.
Mom's spaghetti everywhere on that one. I think Fall Guys, how long do you think before it gets bought by Tencent? That's the real question.
Is this going to be the new like office pool? It's like, all right, new game comes out. How long before Tencent owns it?
Yeah.
I think it'd be a smart ass investment. Like, you could take this game and put it in any demographic right now. Old boomers like me are playing it. You know, the Roblox kids could play it. There's no voice chat, so you can't get toxic. Happy music, marketable little figurine. You could sell
Okay. You can't get toxic is a lie, dude.
Well, if you do, it's to your own self, or like if you're in a Discord. But there's no.
Well, I mean, have you seen the people who wait at the finish line like 39 out of 40 pass, and you just grab someone, throw them off the edge?
That's, I'm sorry, is this a player versus player game?
Yeah, but like, you can still be toxic, but you have to be sneakier about it. You have to be careful and like do it in entirely physical, non-verbal ways.
You also have to be good at it, because it is quite difficult to grab somebody and throw them off the edge.
I knew I had a problem with this game, or that it was going to be an issue, when I was looking up strats on YouTube to get through. It's like the most simplest kid game, and I'm going up to like, all right, fuck, how do I match these patterns? Is there a system?
Can I stick left here and then get time?
People who mod this game should just go straight to hell.
Cheaters
in this game.
I've only seen one.
You know you have a problem with cheating if you cheat in a game like this. There's no competitive advantage. No one gives a shit how many crowns you have or how many times you've won. Like, it's so irrelevant. To cheat in this game is just to purely make the statement that you're a dickhead. What else we got talking about? Okay, this is one I know that our nerds here are going to talk about. So I will just, like, throw the grenade into the room and close the door. There's a new NVIDIA graphics card coming out. It's going to be shown at an NVIDIA event scheduled for September 1st, which will celebrate their 21st anniversary. Go.
I'm stoked. I'm absolutely stoked. It seems like, based on rumors, that we're going to get our normal, you know, 3080 Ti, but there's also rumors of an even more enthusiast card, likely, in my opinion, replacing the Titan. That's, you know, the 3090 that has double the memory of what a normal graphics card would. Very similar to, you know, their higher end cards, but probably at a more affordable price than, gosh, what was the last Titan? $2,500
Damn.
So I think it was 25 to a 3K or something like that.
Yeah, in that range. I'm sure when it wasn't much better than the 2080 Ti. No, it's really exciting because we're going to be seeing the new AMD hardware in probably like November or so. And we'll see the new NVIDIA hardware here in the next, probably next month, to be honest. For those that love graphics cards, like I'm a total graphics card nerd, if they want their custom, you know, Asus, Strix, ROG, whatever graphics cards, those usually come a month after the NVIDIA cards. So it's gonna be pretty hype September and October if you're into graphics cards. Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Lit. That's all I'm gonna say. Very lit, guys. This War of Mine will become required reading for schools in Poland. So interesting, because this War of Mine, older game, indie game, really thoughtful, really dramatic. I got it for free for being a Twitch Prime user maybe a couple years ago. And it was one of those games where it was like, oh, this is only like 100 megabytes. Let's download it and see what's up. And ended up holding my attention for a good while. It's cool because you get stakes on the line. Like it's, I think you got like permadeath type stuff. So you can have people join your little group and then you send them out to go find resources in abandoned buildings and stuff. And if there's people there with guns and they get shot up, like they just don't come home and you just carry on and move. Like it's an intense ass game. This is not on the top of my list of games I think would go to like schools. But what was the article talking about?
The article is basically talking about how this War of Mine teaches people about like the morals and perils of war and like how it affects the world around it, not just in war, which I think is a fantastic lesson. I do think it's really awesome that, you know, it's not some edutainment style game that's being used for education. It's actually like a game that was, you know, seriously released by a developer. To be a game, and that's becoming curriculum for school. I'd love to see more stuff like this in our schools here.
It's one of those kind of like you have to kind of counterpoint the Call of Duty, which kind of glorifies it, and like you it's nice to have this kind of like alternate viewpoint and trying to give kids. I would assume this is not like a third or fourth grade, maybe like a eighth plus, you know, grade age range. Because it's good to like teach, you know, kids empathy through games and stuff like that, through a medium that they know and are familiar with, and they will get involved in this and not have it just be like a reading a stupid book because my teacher told me to, but like getting into something that you are invested in, I think is huge, and have it, you know, teaching you something that's deemed a valuable life skill to have.
God, you know how fucking smart I'd be if video games were in schools back in our day. Like, there's a way to just go back and tie all these lessons to games. It would be a whole different ballgame.
I've seen a bunch of articles over the last several years of history teachers giving extra credit for kids that play Assassin's Creed games, particular ones that are topical to the subject that they're on. My own sister got extra credit in one of her classes for finishing Assassin's Creed 3. So, unlike Emma, she actually played and finished it.
Good. Uneducated, man. That's crazy. Yeah, hopefully this is a trend, man. I could get down with that. And I think that's going to about do it for the show, man. Good job, everybody. I think we crushed it. 10 out of 10.
Nice.
Thanks for watching. If you guys listen to the show week in, week out, you can watch us live. We've shifted the recording nights, I'm sure you guys have noticed, to Fridays. It's just crazy, man. I feel like I haven't changed as a person, you know, but I'm the same guy, but I just always have baby vomit on me somewhere. Like, it's just Wednesday nights, you know, it's like, I don't know if I got it in me to do a podcast. We got to do all this, but Friday nights has become a nice little change. So expect that for the next, you know, through the summer, and we'll just see kind of what happens. If you guys haven't already, like and subscribe or share or star. I don't know where you're listening to this, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, any of those platforms, but do whatever you can. Help show some love. We have a Twitter at Video Game Bang, where we post memes and all kinds of just fun weekly content. Facebook, we have a social media guy who keeps that active. So please check us out on all those social media platforms. Curtis, man, I know, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. How are the Kings, man? Are they doing any? Are they out?
You want to ask that right now? Is that?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Are they out? Out?
I thought you liked me. I thought we were friends. Want to talk about the Kings right now? Okay.
I mean, they're out, right. They're in the bubble. I thought they got a win.
In the bubble. They're out the bubble. Oh. And our GM, we don't have one anymore. He stepped down today. Yeah, hot stinky mess.
Really?
Vlade's gone. He's gone.
What did I miss? Vlade. Why is it such a disaster?
I mean, we're the Kings, man. What do you want me to say? You keep talking about it, destined I'm gonna start crying on air.
Sorry.
Yeah, Kyle, thanks for
you gotta just, add me to your basketball.
Dig it pod. In.
Add me to the basketball podcast one of these weeks, Curtis, so I can just be a complete
absolutely
idiot.
Not. You know why? Because I actually like you, so I'm not gonna do that to you.
Is that where the rage, the anger side of Curtis lingers? Is in the NBA world?
There's blood. There's bodies. It's bad.
Dang. All right.
That's where my Patrick Bateman persona lives.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Rest in peace, Vlade, though. Man, that sucks. Taylor.
Not dead, but he's dead to the city of Sacramento.
He's dead to us.
Again. Dead to us again. This is the third time, right?
Yeah. Taylor.
Yeah, I'm around, man. I'm on Twitter. Mostly just Twitter, actually. Taylor Balbi, Balbi.
The man has his own name as an at. Brilliant.
Yeah, probably gonna. There's a long story to that. I'll tell you sometime off stream.
Did you pay somebody a bunch of money?
No. So after this, I'm probably gonna go update Factorio and maybe start playing it.
And Kyle, the winner. Talk about what you got going on.
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle the Winner. I got a game coming out in a month, dude, which is wild. So I'm living the Google Play Store, Apple App Store nightmare right now of like doing all that. So that's super tricky. But you know, check out my Twitter. I'll be posting stuff as it gets coming out. So
awesome,
should be
man.
Exciting.
All right. Well, you have to come back and tell us all about it when it launches and walk us through it. I want to see that. All right,
sure.
Everybody. For Kyle the Winner, Curtis the Fisher, Taylor the Balbi, my name is Corey saying, you've just been banged.